Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hello, Mr. Scott.
Hello, Josh. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. It's actually a very beautiful day outside.
It really is. Spring is finally here. It's warm out. There's no damn snow all over the place, which means, this being Wisconsin, we're going to get a blizzard in about 3 minutes.
Well, you also got to remember, we had, a month and a half of actual winter this year in Wisconsin?
I know.
This was very abnormal for us.
It was like living on the Kentucky border again. It was so nice.
I mean, literally, December and part of January is all we had for snow this year.
Yep.
All right. That's not our topic tonight. First, before we get into our topic, where is the best place online to buy any kind of sexual toy or video?
I think I'll remember it this time. It's adamandeve.com, isn't it?
My God, you are correct.
I am.
But if you go to adamandeve.com, you get a special deal if you use the promo code
Static.
Static, that's
static.
It. Static. I couldn't remember. Something to do with our show. I couldn't remember.
No, it's actually named after that horrible 90s cartoon of the little superhero, Static Shock.
That was a terrible comic book and an even worse cartoon.
Yes.
But use the promo code STATIC and they'll give you 50% off of a single item. And they'll also throw in 3 DVDs. They'll throw in a free mystery gift. And they're even going to cover shipping in the United States.
I was about to say, I'll bet they just jack up the shipping so that you're paying $30 for a little teeny tiny thing. And
they're going to pick up all the shipping in the United States. It's just amazing to use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com. Please help us out. We need the commission.
Yep. And you get a nice warm, fuzzy feeling for helping me and Josh out. So
help us keep the lights on. All right. Now, last week, you brought up the cancellation of Terra Nova.
I did.
You asked me about that, and I dodged the question because
you wanted to talk about it this week.
I wanted to talk about cliffhangers, series finales, that entire kind of thing. Now, those that didn't watch Terra Nova, I'm not going to give the plot details, but it ended on a pretty damn big cliffhanger, which is why it was irritating that they canceled it like that. The way I look at it, if you're going to go into a show that has a heavy mythology, let them know before the season's out whether you're picking them up or not, so they can either close off the story if they're canceled, or if they're picked up again, then you do a cliffhanger.
Don't really, tell them, Firefly?
Well, Firefly did at least get a movie.
Doesn't matter.
So at least Firefly got a movie
to try and
clean it up.
Still tons of unanswered questions.
I agree, and they're doing that. We talked about it before with that horrible comic book now that is Firefly Season 2, that is the official continuity of between the series and Serenity, which is just absolute bullshit. I'm so sick of these comic books picking up where shows left off, and this is the official. They did that with Dark Shadows. Remember the 1990 Dark Shadows series?
No.
1991?
No.
Well, it ended on a huge cliffhanger, and NBC just canceled it. So then Innovation picked up the comic book and said, hey, this starts where the TV series left off.
You'll see, about the only thing that I remember doing that was Buffy.
Buffy's got three more quote-unquote seasons in the comic books now, which is just irritating to me. Angel, too, I think.
Why?
It's not the same as seeing it on screen. It's sort of like what Paramount did with Star Trek throughout the 80s and 90s. There was this weird thing where Paramount outright said, if it happens in a comic book or one of the novels, it's not continuity. It only is canon if it happened on screen.
Well, then what about things like the Star Wars, and this is getting a little off topic, but what about things like the Star Wars novels and stuff like that, where it's obviously not canon, but kind of filled in gaps for the movie? And
but if it's not canon, it doesn't count. And the thing with Paramount was, a lot of the stuff in the comic books was way better than the stuff that was happening on the show. Because obviously in a comic book, you can have a huge space battle drawn that would take $1 million to shoot on the show. So you had better stories in the comics, and you kind of went, I wish that would be in continuity, because that was a really cool direction to take the crew.
But so you're saying that because it's not continuity, you don't want better stories?
No. That is with the with the Next Generation and stuff like that. With the whole let's keep the TV series right. continuity going, that is irritating because, for one, maybe this is just a me thing. I cannot stand the artwork on these things. They seem to hire the cheapest artist they can find. I mean, the Buffy stuff doesn't even... The Buffy character doesn't even look like Sarah Michelle Gellar at this point. She looks like some guy threw up in Photoshop and said, that's Sarah Michelle Gellar. Just go with it, man. And so to me, the artwork throws everything off because it just does not fit with the actors that you watched for all these different series. And it's just annoying that why should I have to buy the comic book when I used to get the TV show over the air for free? It's kind of irritating that to continue the story, I have to now buy the comic book every month for $4. That's really irritating. Would you buy, let's say they brought Buffy or Angel or even Firefly back, would you pay $4 an episode for 22 episodes of that? No, you wouldn't, because that's ridiculous. And that's what they're asking you to do with these comic books.
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big enough fan of Firefly that if they brought out, you know, the comic of, well, like they have with the season two, I'll check it out. Wait, who publishes it?
I think IDW, but I might be wrong.
Is it DC?
No.
Is it Marvel?
No. It's an indie.
Okay, then I'll check it out.
Because like even the IDW thing with Star Trek. They have a series called Star Trek The Lost Years. Because remember, in classic Star Trek, only lasted 3 years, but it was the 5-year mission.
Right.
And then you jump to the movies, and a whole lot of continuity happened between the first movie and the last episode of Trek.
Yes.
Well, this is the last 2 years of that 5-year mission.
Ah.
And you go, okay, that's kind of neat on a certain level, but just leave it alone, you know? It's 40 years ago. We don't need that filled in. It's already been kind of filled in with dialogue pieces and things in the movies. We don't need the Lost Years comic.
I don't see why not. I you know, if I really were a huge fan of something like Firefly and everything, I would, well, it, game that we're, I'm not going to, don't worry. Mass Effect, we're playing the third part. You and I both.
Yes.
And I want to see all the endings. I want to consume as much media as we can. I even checked out, I did pick up in electronic form at least, the Mass Effect comic books.
Which I did not like. One of the reasons is the same reason you didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't either. But still, it's an engrossing enough universe to me, and I like the characters enough that I want that story to continue. And I have no doubt when I finish the third game, I will want the story to continue.
They've already announced, I don't know if this is official or just what I heard, because they're keeping what the next DLC mission is supposed to be a flashback. It'll take place during the first game. That's just a cheap way to keep your game going, especially when you finish the saga in part 3, isn't it? We're going to have flashback missions that you never got to play in the first game.
Okay.
Fuck you, then.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Then it should have been included in the first game.
Nah.
Well, okay. That's a whole different issue. But do you get irritated when you have a show that ends on a cliffhanger that was a show that could have ended properly, say, a season before?
Give me an example.
Lost. Lost's final season was a complete and utter waste. Yes. If they had ended it at the season cliffhanger before that, it would have been a beautiful and poetic ending. But they said, we can milk another 22 episodes out of this, and it just meandered around and wasted what could have been a great series finale.
Good example. I like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of cliffhangers in general. I don't like unresolved story.
If the show, you're guaranteed to be picked up again and a cliffhanger is done right, that can really get you pumped for the next season.
Like, well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is I don't like cliffhanger, you know, if you're unsure or if they have been canceled, I hate people that ended on a cliffhanger.
I liked what Jericho did. Do you remember the show Jericho?
I remember the show Jericho.
Did you ever watch it?
Not well. I think I caught the first season.
Okay, the first season was kind of meh. It picked up right at the end. Season two, which was a shortened like 6 or 7 episode season, was great. But because it was so much more concise, they got rid of all the love triangle bullshit and they focused on the actual story.
Oh, okay.
But they were not sure if they were going to get picked up for a third season or not. So they shot two endings. They shot a series finale and a season finale. And they told CBS, let us know what you're going to do before we submit the final episode so we know which ending to put on. And CBS canceled them, so they put the series finale ending on. And then the season finale ending was an extra on the DVD.
Neat.
So they actually gave us both.
Actually, a show that, and I know you're not a fan of it, but a show that does something very similar is Robot Chicken. At the end of every season of Robot Chicken, they do something terrible to the CEO of Adult Swim.
Okay.
And he comes back and says, you're canceled. And that's how the show ends.
Every year.
Every season. And then when they if they get renewed, they pick up that storyline right where it is and somehow work a way around to get, okay, you're back on the air. And then, the opening credits roll.
Seems kind of like a cheap workaround, though, really.
Yeah, but it's at least, you know how it's going to end.
It just seems like a cheap-ass workaround to me. Well, then, what do you think about shows that should have ended long before they did?
Really, Simpsons, I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
I'm thinking of ones that are actually... Let's leave the ones that are still on the air out of this for right now. Let's talk about shows that just are gone, but should have been gone long before that they were.
Law and Order?
Well, that just kind of meandered, but that didn't get awful. I'm looking more like Roseanne.
Yeah.
Did you ever see those last two horrendous-ass seasons?
Yes.
Those things were just horrid. And then the series finale is one of the biggest... I mean, it's like a huge guy in prison taking his dick out and slapping you in the face with it. That series finale was so fucking awful that it actually ruined the entire series. It was so bad. Basically, all the last seasons never happened. They were a story Roseanne was writing about the middle of season two when she tried to become a writer. And Jackie was a lesbian, and the kids were married to different people, and Dan was dead still. And it was like, wow, you just have total contempt for your viewers at this point, don't you, Roseanne? That's one of the most just stick it in your ass, no lube, fucking finales I've ever seen that just angered. And then you have the mealy mouth ones like The Sopranos. You remember The Sopranos finale?
Where they just cut to black?
That's because David Chase was too afraid. Because he knew, okay, if we kill Tony, if we kill these characters, it's going to piss off half the audience. If we don't kill these characters, it's going to piss off half the audience. Aha! I'll let you decide what you think. That is such a cheap, I am too scared to actually commit to an ending. That actually angered me on a "you are just a fucking coward" David Chase ending. That pissed me off. And he tries to say it was artistic. It was artistic. It's something that hadn't been done in TV. I was breaking new ground. No, you weren't. You were afraid of the backlash you'd get no matter what you did.
I don't know. See, that one I kind of like. That one I kind of respect. Just because of the show that The Sopranos was and the fan base that it had. And yeah. You let him live, you piss off half the audience. You kill him, you piss off the other half of the audience. A decent artistic way, but to me there's a difference between a cliffhanger and an open-ended story.
I think it was a cheap, cowardly way out. I think he was literally just too afraid to actually commit to something, so he chose the non-commitment route. That's what I look at it as. I mean, David Chase was never all that committed of a guy. If you look at some of the other series he worked on, he always kind of did that. He always never wanted to end anything on any kind of finality note. He always wanted, let's leave just enough open that we can have more stories later. It's like, well, in some of these cases, the story's done. There's no more stories to tell. Finish the story. I don't know why that's so hard sometimes.
So if there are no more stories to tell, why are you upset that the story isn't done?
Because the stories are all done, and they go, well, maybe we'll come up with more later, so we're not going to give you an actual finale. We're just going to give you it's over for now. And that, to me, is a cowardly way out. You know, and then you have other shows where a finale really doesn't matter, like Dragnet. You know, the show was pretty much episodic anyway. There was no overarching storyline. Did it really matter if they got a proper send-off for Joe Friday?
Well, no, it didn't, but I think to the fans, it does. I even if a show is really episodic, I think to the fans of that episodic show, a proper send-off, maybe even a callback to the early episodes or something like that, it's just kind of a nice little bow on a decent present. Is it really, really necessary? No. Does it make the present itself any more or less cool? No. But it's a nice touch.
Well, how about ones that got sent off more than once? A show that each season they thought they were canceled, so that they go on like a cast-wide bloodbath, and then, hey, we're picking you up. We got to figure out how to do this. And I'm looking more like, do you remember Forever Knight?
I remember the show.
Vampire Cop?
Yeah. I don't remember the history. I didn't watch it very much.
Okay, the first season was on CBS as part of their Crime Time After Prime Time.
Okay.
And the show was co-financed by a German company, because that show was much bigger in Europe than it was in America.
I believe it.
Well, and they also shot nude scenes for the international versions, which are the ones, thankfully, we finally get on DVD, are the uncut versions with the nude scenes.
Okay.
Highlander was the same way. Their first season had nude scenes that we never saw in America. But so CBS canceled it, so it had a pretty okay finale for the CBS first season. Then it was picked up for first-run syndication. So they said, okay, we'll do this. So there's some budget cuts and whatnot. So we go through another season. And then first-run syndication, we're not going to pick it up again. Then USA Network picks it up. So then they have to get rid of a couple of the other characters. And then when USA cancel it, they go on a cast-wide bloodbath to just basically say, nobody's picking this show up for a fourth season. We pretty much killed everybody now. There is no fourth season of this goddamn show.
Did they get picked up for a fourth season?
No, probably because of you killed everybody except Nick and LaCroix. They're the only ones left.
Okay.
Everyone else is dead. And then that finale pissed everybody off. Everyone was like, okay, these characters we've, you know, grown up with for three seasons, you just kill them in a single episode bloodbath?
They're just characters.
It really annoys people sometimes.
I know.
When that happens. And
I know.
I kind of like going out in a blaze of glory.
I do too. Again, there's that finality to things.
Well, because, okay, classic Trek never had a proper finale. Let's leave the movies out of it for right now.
Right, okay.
Wouldn't you have liked to have seen Bones and Spock and Kirk and Sulu and Scotty and Uhura and Chekhov going out in a huge-ass blaze of glory, taking down the Klingon Empire or something like that? Wouldn't that have been a proper send-off for Kirk and his crew?
Or the route that the Voyager took, which was welcome home, everybody.
That was a series finale that was incredibly irritating, too.
Yes, yes, it was.
We're going to build up the whole season of getting home, and we're going to deal with it in the last 45 seconds of the episode. You cheap sons of bitches. You know, you cheap bastards. Or another one that's really irritating is Next Generation's finale. All Good Things was such a... I don't want to say cheap, but it did not work the way I think it was meant to. It was this.
It certainly didn't have the emotional impact that you kind of wanted it to have.
Right. Whereas Deep Space Nine's had both the emotional impact and a huge set of action scenes as the Dominion War finally comes to an end, and you know they retake Cardassia, the Klingons and the Romulans have massive losses. Earth has taken a huge monster hit, and they finally defeat the Dominion, and then Sisko sacrifices himself to take down Dukat and the Pares. It was that was the most satisfying Star Trek finale I think there's been yet.
Right.
And then there's Voyager, which we talked, Enterprise, which we talked about in our Star Trek one. That was a middle finger up your ass to Star Trek fans.
Yeah. Enterprise never should have gotten off the air. On the air.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you. I was going to fight with you for a second.
No. Enterprise never should have gotten on the air. Now, do I think that looking at this is, again, a little bit off topic because my brain is meandering tonight. But if you look at Enterprise and you take away that Star Trek name and you take away the Star Trek expectations,
it's still a bad show.
And you go, this is when we can first start going out and exploring deep space. It had potential to be good.
Potential, yes. I will not fight you on potential.
But potential means you suck now.
Voyager had potential too. Remember the whole being trapped and
yes.
literally with and, no and supplies.
And we yeah. talked about what ruined that with the magical supplies.
Yeah. So the potential, nobody wanted to deal with it because of all the fallout from DS9. But then you got, speaking of finales that weren't finales in a season, I disagree with this. But a lot of people think Babylon 5's fifth season has no right to exist. And I disagree with that because I actually thought season 5 had some good storylines in it.
Okay, why is that?
Okay, when J. Michael Straczynski inked his deal with the PTEN network, it was for a 5-season deal. And so he had everything plotted out over 5 seasons. You know, at the end of season 4, we're at this point. The middle of season 5, we're at this point. And ratings were dropping for season 3. So they said, you only have one more season, so you have to wrap up. So he basically crammed what was supposed to be season 4 and 5 into season 4.
Okay.
Which made the pace pick up considerably.
Which brought his ratings up.
So he finished the story with the season 4 finale. And okay. then they said, ratings picked up greatly. We're picking you up for that fifth season. And he's kind of like, oh, shit. But I've already finished the story. So season 5 did meander some, but it was sort of the cleanup of what happened in the first 4 seasons. And a lot of people just hated that. A lot of people said Babylon 5 should have ended at season 4. I thought season 5 had a lot of really interesting plot lines. They just weren't as dire or
I don't know,
as grandiose as the first 4 seasons.
I tried watching Babylon 5. Couldn't do it.
It's not bad if you can get past, and I can't believe I'm the one saying this, the horrible CG graphics, the mid-90s CG graphics, and the fact that J. Michael Straczynski cannot write dialogue to save his life.
Yeah, I think that's what does it for me. More than the CG graphics is the dialogue. I the few times that I watched it, I looked at it and I went, people don't talk this way.
No, that's the problem I always had, is whenever anyone on a J. Michael Straczynski show talks, it sounds like they're reading from a script.
Yes.
It does not sound like the way people talk. Everyone sounds like they're reading.
And here, we'll give you an example. It was the intro that we did as we opened this show versus, hello, everyone. You're listening to Josh and Scott on Lost in the Static. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Scott.
How are you today?
I am fine.
Good. What did you do this week?
I pooped a lot.
That's dumb. This bit needs to end now.
I saw your face when I said that. You're like, what?
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. The acting overall was fine.
Yeah.
I liked the characters. I liked the arcs. I liked the overall story, but that man cannot write believable dialogue. Everything sounds like a speech. Two characters talking about what's on TV at night sounds like two politicians trying to do a stump speech. And that's what he did for the entirety of the show. So, no.
So do you agree that season 5 shouldn't exist?
No. Like I said, I liked some of the plot lines that they went with. I agree the show probably should have ended at season 4, but season 5 is not a bad one. Another one that a lot of people complain about for the same reasons is Twin Peaks. They say after Laura Palmer's murder was solved, the show should have ended.
I agree with that.
I don't. I liked some of the goofy storylines that they went into after Laura Palmer's murder.
Me.
I liked some of it. Was it as good as the Laura Palmer
no.
arcs? No, not at all. But no. It wasn't bad TV to me.
Now, what about movie series? Are there any movie series that you'd like to see that really deserved a better finale than they got?
Well,
and there's one that comes to my brain.
When you talk about movie series, let's leave out any kind of reboots.
Okay.
But like Texas Chainsaw Massacre never should have made it past the third movie. That fourth one was not a fitting finale for the original franchise. Friday the 13th. I liked Jason X. Jason X was a beautiful finale. Do you remember how that ended?
Was that the one where he was in space?
Yeah, 300 or 400 years in the future. That movie was way better than it had any right to be, for one thing.
Yeah, with the, I didn't go see it on premise alone.
It is way better than it has any right to be. And it had a really satisfying finale of them finally, there's no way Jason can come back. Finale. And then they go, Freddy versus Jason. Yeah, it takes place. They actually say it takes place earlier in the continuity, so that's still the finale.
Ah,
and you go, okay. No. That, no. Because the way you end it then contradicts. Never mind. It's, you know, it's one of those, you people had no clue what you're doing. That wasn't a series that was known for continuity between movies anyway, though.
Movie series that should end and should get a decent finale? Child's Play.
That's getting a reboot.
I know it's getting a reboot.
I still have not seen Seed of Chucky or Bride of Chucky, so I don't know.
I have seen both Seed of Chucky and Bride of Chucky, not in that order.
Are they as bad as they...
Yes, yes, they are. And I'm a guy that doesn't mind Jennifer Tilly. I don't dislike Jennifer Tilly. I think she does a fine job in Chasing Amy.
Jennifer Tilly? She's not in Chasing Amy.
I know.
So why'd you just say that?
She does a great job in Chasing Amy.
You confused her with Joey Lauren Adams, didn't you?
No. You're missing the joke.
Okay.
I'm not a Jennifer Tilly fan at all. And so you pick a movie that they're not in and you say they did a wonderful job in that movie.
All right. Right over my head.
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly should not have been in those movies. It was terrible casting. And really, had they taken Chucky and not turned him into some sort of like clown like they did with Freddy...
Yeah, if you look at the early movies to the later movies.
Yes, and if they take Chucky, and I mean a dry black sense of humor, and yeah, I've talked to a fan about this, a dry black sense of humor was always part of his character, but in Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, they just turned him into the...
Living cartoon?
It was a gory clown, yeah.
Well, you see that happen to a lot of, especially horror franchises.
It's a shame.
Have that tend to happen. But then most franchises aren't really made to be continuing stories most of the time. And even when they are, I'm looking at you, Matrix, most of the second and third movie was padding until the big finale of the third one. There was no reason this had to be a trilogy.
Yeah, well.
There was no reason the Matrix was a trilogy.
I would have been completely satisfied if they had made Matrix and not the other two.
Yes, because that was an okay finale.
It was, again, open ending. Not a cliffhanger ending.
But it had a certain finality to it at the same time.
Yeah, but a finality to it at the same time, but a nice open ending. You could have branched off from that into a television series, popular at the time. It could have branched into an animated series. Frankly, I think The Matrix would make a great animated series.
It did. The Animatrix.
No. That's animated stories of various characters that happen to make cameos in the movie every now and then, but
it's still kind of an animated series.
Yeah, but no, I mean a decent animated series that we could have made. Blah.
Okay, well, and then to go back to TV, you have the ones that say a show's been on the air literally almost since the birth of TV, like some of these soap operas. There's no way you can ever give a proper finale to, like, Days of Our Lives, can you?
No, because half the original cast and stuff like that are dead.
But I'm just saying there's no way you can even wrap up all the plot lines.
No, there's no way you can do that.
You know, a finale would be an absolute... It would just be, like, one of those academic looks back. Here's just a list of everything that happened. We can't actually show you because there's way too much to actually film.
Well, I mean, that's the nature of soap operas, though. When they took off and when they morphed from these serialized stories with overarching, you know, character arcs and stuff like that into it was the 1970s that they made the switch into the ridiculous. Because if you go back to like the early episodes of like Guiding Light and stuff like that, I could even enjoy them.
As a dude?
as a dude, they well, not just as a dude, but as a guy that doesn't like soap operas. I don't, but you watch some of the early episodes and they weren't quite.
He's sleeping with him, who's a reincarnated mummy.
Yeah, and, who's Blah's secret twin brother. They were, you know, identical cousin that they don't know about and stuff like that. It wasn't quite so convoluted like that. They had, and there was drama. And if you want to see something similar to that, again, you have to turn to British series. And the British do a wonderful thing.
I'd say Twin Peaks was very much in that style of a soap opera while having the police procedural on top, while having a layer of weirdness on the top.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is if you want to take a look at what soap operas used to be character-wise before they got all freaking convoluted, is, again, you have to turn to British television and things like Monarch of the Glen and stuff like that, where it's still a very emotionally driven story, and it still has an emotional impact if you're a fan. I'm not of Monarch of the Glen, so maybe that wasn't a good example, but it came to brain.
It came to brain. Brain need food for smart making.
Brain, yes. But nonetheless, it's still very emotionally driven, still has a good emotional impact, not so dang insane.
Well, one that's a British-Canadian co-production. Remember that Charlie Jade series I've given you that gotten around to watching
yet? Yeah, sitting on my desk.
That has a finale that is the story's all wrapped up, and then they irritated me. There's an extra, minute-long epilogue after the credits.
Okay.
That shows certain things where you go, oh, Christ, they were planning a second season. Then why'd you end it on such finality if you're going to go, we might backpedal later. We might want to have a second. They didn't, but it's kind of irritating. I would have preferred if that epilogue had just been lopped off and you didn't include that and the characters had the ending that they had.
No, for a completely different reason. I really wish that the epilogue and the huge long ending had been lopped off of Lord of the Rings.
I never saw the third film because I hated the first two. So
I got to admit, by the time the third film ended, like where it should have ended, I really, really, really had to pee. Really had to pee. And I'm sitting in the theater and I'm watching and I'm like, something important might happen. Something
can't
important
risk
might
30
happen.
30 seconds of
can't,
running.
Yeah, can't risk, because you've got to run to the bathroom and do your thing and come back. And, it's inevitable that, long, boring shot, boring music, waving, hugging, kissing. Okay, I'm going to go. And you run out of the theater. And the moment you run out of the theater, you come back and your friend is just like, dude, the minute you left, just
five characters
shit,
got killed.
Yeah, shit just exploded and midget strippers came into the movie theater and did a live performance and it was amazing. And you're like, where are they? No, they left.
Dude, you totally missed it. It was once in a lifetime thing.
Exactly.
But what it comes down to is I am just so sick of the TV networks not caring about the viewer. I mean, obviously, it's all about money to them. We know that. That's not debatable. What is, I know people who, they'll see a preview for a really cool-looking series on Fox, and they'll go, I refuse to watch that because I know four episodes in, it's going to get canceled, and I'm just going to be left with a cliffhanger.
Yep.
And that's it. It's like, I will wait until the whole season's out before I check it out because Fox is just going to cancel it, and then I'm going to be pissed off.
Two reasons I'd never watched Terra Nova.
Was because it was on Fox?
One, because it's on Fox and it was a sci-fi show, so you know it's going to last a season. And two, my wife has an irrational fear of dinosaurs.
Okay.
To the point that we can't, I can't watch Jurassic Park. I can't watch the edited Jurassic Park on TV.
I was going to say, didn't I see some Jurassic Park DVDs on your shelf, though?
No.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Okay.
You're thinking of something else. I can't watch Jurassic. She won't let me. She even hears the roar of the dinosaurs and she'll have nightmares
for
weeks.
The dinosaurs are all CG.
I know. The dinosaurs are extinct, Josh, and have been for
millennia. But there's a difference between
millennia.
A practical effect where it's actually interacting with an actor to a CG dinosaur added
later.
Doesn't
matter. Doesn't matter. Seriously, they both scare the hell out of her.
Okay. But, you know, like Fox, ABC also was famous for this, of canceling shows, you know, 2-3 episodes in. Oh, it's not performing well. Get rid of it.
What was it? Playboy Club? One episode, done.
That was NBC, I think.
I don't even remember who had that on the air.
I think that was NBC.
I remember the promo. Or Pan Am.
Pan Am lasted a whole season.
Did it?
Yes.
I never saw it.
Maybe Pan Am lasted an entire season. I think that actually got picked up for a second season.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
I should probably watch that show just to say I saw it.
Okay. How about a series finale when they have a satisfying series finale, but something changed? Like maybe half the cast left the show and a whole new cast came in for the final season. Then they do a reunion movie 10 years later with the original cast, and they say, yeah, season 5 never happened. Does that irritate the shit out of you too?
No.
Really? I'm so sick of that because, like, Wise Guy. I loved Wise Guy. And the 5th season was great. But most of the original cast was gone, and the 5th season was investigating what happened to them with the new characters. Fine. So then in 1996, they did a TV movie bringing the original cast back. See, they outright say, season 5 never happened. Well, then what the fuck you then? Why not pick up where season 5 left off with the characters then? There was no finality to them finding out that all these characters were dead. Why just kind of, yeah, that Stephen Bauer season? Fuck Stephen Bauer. We didn't like his character. That doesn't irritate you?
No.
Why?
Because I'm also the guy that can look at it and go, you know that American Doctor Who movie? Never happened.
Come on, Eric Roberts, that was awesome.
Never fucking happened.
Eric Roberts never was fucking awesome.
Happened. Never happened.
Okay, does that actually take place in canon? Or
no.
That Doctor Who movie is not they, part when of
they,
canon?
Yeah, it just they looked at it and went, what? No.
But no, like the Wise Guy thing really pissed me off. That pissed me off so much. Or when, I'm thinking of 21 Jump Street in this, where after Fox canceled the show after season 4, obviously Johnny Depp and Dustin Nguyen didn't come back for season 5, which was in first run syndication. And their characters are just never mentioned again. Some of them were in the middle of an arc. And it's just like, yeah, we don't know who Hanson or Aoki are. They've never worked here before. That's kind of irritating. And you've got characters that have been on the show, like Peter DeLuise's character, the entirety of the show. And he was best friends with Johnny Depp's character. And then just, he was there one day and he's gone the next, and it's never brought up again.
Yeah.
That to me is a really at least write them out in dialogue.
You know, that hey, I can
Hanson
understand.
Was killed in the line of duty or transferred to Canada or something.
That I can understand. That I can understand.
But just to ignore them. We're not even going to bring up why they're. And then the 21 Jump Street thing was even more irritating. For whatever reason, they gave the new Johnny Depp type character. All of a sudden, he's driving Hanson's car through all of season 5. No explanation why he has Hanson's car, which Hanson loved.
Because they couldn't afford another car.
Right, but I'm just saying, explain!
Or...
explain this!
Okay, explain to me this. I have seen previews for the 21 Jump Street movie. What is that? Because, as I remember it, and I'm remembering things wrong, but 21 Jump Street was a drama.
Yes, a very... And now people will joke because, you know, it's very 80s and some of the episodes are really goofy, but seasons 3 and 4 was a very good drama.
Okay.
And a lot of people didn't watch the show all the way through and they go, well, you know, obviously they look like 30-year-olds in high school. Guys, in seasons 3 and 4, they weren't in high schools anymore. They were going into colleges and they were going into businesses and they were going on the streets and things like that. They were undercover, not undercover in high schools in the later seasons. So they actually did get away from the original premise in a good way. But this new movie, it sickens me that it's an actual sequel. Holly Robinson Pete appears in the movie as Hoffs, the same character she played in the TV series. And they mention they're bringing back their old 21 Jump Street program from the 80s. So it's wow. A fucking sequel to the series.
That's sad.
That is sad indeed. And it's clear just from watching the trailer alone that Jonah Hill, the writer and star,
yes.
Has never watched an episode of the show in his life if he thinks that is what the show was about.
I don't know.
But yeah, 21 Jump Street, seasons 3 and 4 were great. I love the spinoff Booker, which also didn't get a proper finale, but that's something else. It just, there are so many shows I wish got proper finales. And it would be interesting to, especially if the original cast is still alive, to have some insane movie producer or TV producer come and go, I'm going to buy the rights to all these series, and I'm going to do a one-off episode that gives every one of these a finale, you know, if you can get the original cast back. I think that would be a very fitting, cool thing to do, that I'm going to take a dozen different series and we'll make it like an anthology show, and it's going to be the final episode of Kolchak the Night Stalker or something like that, although Darren McGavin's dead. But
that actually sounds like a good idea.
I think that would be really cool to give these shows the proper finale they were denied in the 70s and 80s.
So what do you think? What do you think of? I call it out of left field finale. Finale, and the out of left field finale. For instance, if it's a procedural show, and let's say you're getting up to 10 minutes in the end, and you look and you go, "There's only 10 minutes of show left. I know they've got to be getting close to getting the killer," and let's say you get down to 2 minutes of show left and you go, oh my God, they haven't caught the killer yet. And they're really, really close and they're on their way. And all of a sudden the plane blows up and they all die in a plane crash. And that's the end of the series.
I can actually one up you on that. Not the series finale, but in the final season, did you ever see how they wrote out one of the characters on Miami Vice?
No.
Okay. In Miami Vice, not realistic, but relatively grounded in the real world, or at least pretending to be. I swear to God, one of the characters was abducted by aliens. The alien was played by Phil Collins. That's what? How they actually wrote out one of the characters.
Seriously.
She was abducted by aliens in season
five. Actually, the one that gets me is the series Las Vegas.
When are you talking about Laura Flynn Boyle blowing off the roof?
Yes, just out of freaking nowhere. Whoosh. She fell off the roof.
And died,
and that was it. What? Where did... Okay.
Well, and in that continuity, I got to say the one thing I liked about that was Jean-Claude Van Damme is dead in that finale. He appeared on that show as himself, and he got murdered. So in that continuity, the actor Jean-Claude Van Damme, being played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, is dead in the continuity of Las Vegas and Crossing Jordan, because they had numerous continuity crossovers.
I thought, I could have sworn that you were a Van Damme fan.
Not really. But Jean-Claude Van Damme is dead in the continuity of Crossing Jordan and Las Vegas.
Okay.
I thought that was kind of, okay, that was interesting, but okay. Weird. But no, like, you know, they Miami Vice all of a sudden bringing aliens into this.
Yeah.
And UFOs, you go, okay, and you expected to have credibility after this for the episodes that come afterwards? What the hell's the matter with you people?
Can I take a moment, and can we take a break from the show, because I want to mention some good stuff.
Okay.
Because we've been bitching a lot, and there's a couple of things that I really want to plug. One is there's a couple of iPod games, or iPad or iPhone games. First is called Snuggle Truck. As weird as it is, you're driving a truck.
Do you hug it?
No. You're driving a regular old beat-up truck through a rather difficult landscape, but you've got the back of the truck is full of stuffed animals, and you're taking the stuffed animals somewhere. So it's a lot of fun. It's by a company called Owlchemy Labs, and that's O-W-L-C-H-E-M. Owlchemy Labs. And they just came out with a new game called And that is really
Did
what
you
it's called.
Sit on a cactus or something?
Yes, something. But what it is you're leaping off of like tall building, and you have to go screaming toward the ground, and you get points for flipping off people that don't like you or giving thumbs up to people that support you as you jump, and you get points for getting close to buildings. But it's just a lot of fun. So I just wanted to give Owlchemy Labs.
Did you ever play Hide the Fart on the computer?
No.
I used to play that when we worked at 26. You're a Japanese guy standing next to a bunch of traffic, and there's a guy next to you, and you have to hit the space bar to fart as your gas level keeps building up, as cars drive by and birds fly by, and you have to hide the fart in the other sound effects. And if the other guy hears you fart, you lose. That's a real game. Yes, silence is all I get out of that, huh?
Yeah, that's all you get.
Hide the fart. But back to TV. And then there are finales that make you go, you know what? That was a satisfying finale, but it was so goddamn good. I want more. I wish that weren't a finale. I wish that were a season cliffhanger. You ever run into those?
None that come to mind, but I'm sure I have.
No, I can't let this one go. The finale of the new Battlestar Galactica from the 2000s. The most insulting, demeaning, condescending finale I think I've ever seen this side of the Roseanne finale. It was that bad.
What happened?
Okay, throughout the whole show, they've been trying to find Earth, right?
Right.
And there's always been this thing about the legends and how Starbuck is special, and then she gets killed at the end of season 3, and then she comes back miraculously, and she knows the way to Earth and all this blah, blah, blah. It turns out she's an angel sent by God to lead them to Earth, and we're not even in caveman times. They get to Earth, and they start humanity, and evolution never happened. They begin the human race on Earth, and then it evolves into now, where we're starting to create the machines that will destroy us.
Okay. I realized
there was nothing like this up until about halfway through the series finale, when it just came up and you went, are you fucking kidding me?
I realize that this is an audio program, and I have absolutely no idea how to orally or via audio do a face palm. So I will simply say, I am face palming right now.
Yes, it's that bad. I mean, it was so insulting. People went, this is a joke, right? This isn't the real finale. This is a joke, right? It was so insultingly bad. And then it turns out that the series producer is a hardcore Mormon. And he'd always been trying to get this stuff in, but the producers wouldn't let him. And they finally let him do the finale any way he wanted.
Oh, wow.
So he said, I'm getting all my religious shit out now. Wow. So, yeah, Battlestar Galactica was one of the most insulting finales ever. And then you have ones. Do you remember how Angel ended?
No.
Angel had a great finale that was kind of not closed off and kept going.
Okay.
Basically, the group gets together. They kill a whole bunch of the bad guys that have been bugging them throughout the entire final season. They lose a couple of, you know, good guy characters, and then they join up in an alley. It's raining. They're in an alley. A couple of the characters are really beat to shit. A couple are near death and whatnot. And then this giant wave of demons and this giant dragon comes out, and they're like, "You guys ready?" Yeah. Angel grabs a sword and goes, "I'm gonna slay me a dragon." Runs, and then the executive producer credit comes up.
Nice.
And you go, that's both awesome and kind of infuriating at the same time for a series finale.
The first series of Heroes, beautiful season finale.
If they had left it alone.
If they had left it alone.
Well, but they lied to us on that, too.
Yeah, they did.
Remember that?
Yes.
For those that don't remember, they outright said, this will not be a cliffhanger. All the plot lines will be wrapped up, and season 2 will start all new characters that go off the continuity of season 1.
And that was the idea, was that every season you'd have
a new group.
A new group, yeah.
And then you see the season finale and you go, okay, that character ended on a cliffhanger. That character ended on a cliffhanger. That character ended on a, you sons of bitches. And then season 2 picks up all the cliffhangers and you go, You blatantly lied to us, you sons of bitches. So yes, Heroes is a perfect example of a good series with a terrible finale. To me, season 2 and 3, did it even get a fourth? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Anything after season 1?
I don't remember anything after.
I don't care.
I caught half of season 2 and went, you know what?
This is boring now.
Yeah, fuck this.
Yeah, season 2 was awful, and season 2 had one of those, well, do we or don't we finales? And then they chose the mealy way out where they wouldn't back themselves into a corner. Oh, another one. The season 2 finale of Millennium should have been the season or the series finale.
Okay.
Not only was it beautiful, it was poetic. It brought all the storylines to a close. And they actually thought they were canceled. So that's why they wrote a series finale. And then Fox goes, yeah, we're picking you up. Basically, they ended the world. A new virus called the Marburg virus was rampaging through the world, killing anything alive in excruciatingly gory ways. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
And the Millennium Group had a certain amount of cures. They had certain vaccines for it. Obviously, not enough for even a percent of the population. They were just giving it to their members, not even their families, just their members. And so Frank was inoculated, and then he had one dose, and he's got a daughter and a wife. So the wife starts to come down with it. He gives it to his daughter. And then throughout the entire episode, you hear news reports. This is happening all over the world. There's already millions and millions dead. Okay, so there's no way you can backpedal out of this, right?
Right.
The world is ending.
It's over.
And the final images are Frank, his wife went out and she shot herself out in the woods. He's given his daughter the vaccine, and he's just sitting there catatonic as it's flashing between what's really happening and static of news reports. And then in the year 2525 starts to play beautifully over the credits. So when they were picked up for a third season, oh yeah, there were only a couple of hundred deaths and was isolated to Seattle.
What? Wait, what?
Exactly. The season 3 premiere, you went, no, that contradicts every single minute of the finale of season 2. You just contradicted. You fucking sons of bitches. You cheap bastards. So season 3 of Millennium should have never existed. Season 2 was a beautiful finale, and it should have ended there, and it would have been a perfect wrap-up to that show. Another disappointing one was The X-Files. Hey, our 2-hour series finale is a clip show. It was Mulder. Yeah. It was Mulder on trial, so yeah. It was a clip show, and he kept having, and they even... Every major dead character is even going to be back. He was losing his grip with reality, and all the dead characters appeared to him as visions. And you went, oh, God. You're like, this was not just weak. This was awful.
Yeah.
So, like, the X-Files, Chris Carter doesn't seem to know how to end a series, basically, is what it boils down to.
Now, you're an X-Files fan, right?
Yes.
Go to machinima.com and watch Receiver. It's RCVR.
Okay.
It's good. And
it's X-Files or
no, it's live action, and it's kind of X-Files-ish.
Okay.
But
isn't it funny that some of the X-Files ripoffs were more X-Files-y than the last couple of seasons of the X-Files?
Yes.
Isn't that sort of ironic in a sick sort of way?
But anyway, machinima.com, you know, it's usually the site where you use a video game engine to produce a movie.
Right.
This is not that.
Okay. So it's live action.
Live action. And actually, Machinima has really branched out and is doing a lot more live action stuff. But yeah, Receiver, RCVR. It's if you like sci-fi, it's a good series.
Oh, speaking of, before we finish here, we got to talk about the best series finale of all time. It's both a fuck you to the fans and a brilliant we love the fans.
Road Trip to Oblivion Season 4.
Saint Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
The entire series took place inside an autistic child's mind, as well as all the connecting series such as Cheers and Hill Street Blues and Chicago Hope and all that. That is both brilliant and asinine at the same time, because there was no buildup to that finale happening.
Nope.
And that's why it was both genius. Or even like Hill Street Blues, they burn the station down in the series finale. You go, okay, that's kind of a fitting way to go out. You know, I mean, the series finale of Lou Grant, if they had aired correctly, CBS had lots of problems with this being the finale, so they aired it 5 episodes before it was supposed to, was they all got blown up in a nuclear war. The escalations between America and Russia, and missiles were heading their way as the show faded to black as they're watching news reports. But then they aired 4 more episodes after that, so it negated the fact that that was a finale.
Oops.
No, CBS was, there's no fucking way you're blowing up the world in a show that's set in the real world. No, not Oops. Happening.
That's a shame.
So he brought up Road Trip to Oblivion. Listen to Jason Oblivion's show, another damn talk show on Jackalope Radio. Listen to Sit a Spell with Lisa Lee. Listen to Radiodrome and What the Fuck. And if you're listening to Lost in the Static, we shouldn't have to prompt you to listen to Lost in the
Static. Listen to us again.
Download us. We had a ton of downloads last month. Keep it up, people.
Yes, thank
Keep
you.
Keep it up.
Thank you. You can definitely contact us on Facebook with Lost in the Static. Facebook.com/Lost in the Static, Or you can reach us at lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com.
Or you can reach Scott individually at smurray75@gmail.com.
Right, and that's Google Plus and Facebook and freaking everywhere.
And me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. So have a nice night and blah, blah, blah.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. And we've got one. Okay.
Why do you do that?